Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and I do hope you enjoy it. This story was first published on January 1st of 2021 under the headline, Running from the FBI, Hide Out in a Friendly Oregon Town. It's part one of a two-part presentation of this story. Part two is coming your way on the podcast tomorrow. Here we go. Happy New Year! In the spirit of the American tradition of the season, today we're going to explore the stories of two Missouri men whose New Year's resolutions probably once included give up crime and hide from the FBI. This is the sort of thing that used to be very easy to do in Oregon, which is actually the only state, as far as I've been able to learn, to ever have had one of its U.S. senators serve under an alias which he adopted while running from law enforcement. That would be John M. Hipple, a.k.a. John H. Mitchell, a cool, amoral, Gilded Age rascal after whom the town of Mitchell is named, who, in 1860, abandoned his wife and family in Connecticut, quote-unquote borrowed $4,000 from his employer, and fled with his mistress to the West Coast to start a new life under a new name. Hipple's adventure is another story, although it's worth circling back to if you're not familiar with it. Today we're going to talk about two other fugitives, both of whom had the bad luck to be on the lam 90 years after Hipple's successful scampering off. Their luck would not be as good as his. Like Hipple, neither was a killer. One of them was arguably not even a real criminal. But both of them were fugitives from justice who were caught laying low under aliases in little towns in Oregon, and both were caught through the media, in one case the newspapers and in the other a radio show. We're going to talk about the newspaper guy today. That would be Orba Elmer Jackson, a.k.a. Ken Van Kempen. In March of 1950, Clyde Adams, the postmaster in the town of Tualatin, was going through a packet of FBI wanted posters preparatory to putting them up on the post office wall when he noticed a familiar face looking up at him from the stack. The name on the poster was Orba Elmer Jackson, but the picture... Well, if that wasn't Ken Van Kempen, the local handyman who occasionally worked at the house across the street, it had to be his twin brother. He showed the poster to Bernice Ladd, his postal clerk, and she agreed it had to be the same man. Ken, they knew, had recently taken a permanent job at Cy Kirkland's chicken farm in Aloha and had left a forwarding address with them. So Clyde sent off a letter to the FBI office in Portland telling of his suspicions and giving the forwarding address. 2 days later, the FBI's 10 most wanted appeared in the Portland newspapers. Orba Jackson was numbered 7 on the list, and several other of Ken's acquaintances also made the connection and reached out to the FBI. Everyone who knew Ken would be flabbergasted by the FBI's description of the vicious-looking, hardened criminal whose sour puss glared out at the reader from his newspaper mugshot. Orba Jackson is now a fugitive, the FBI wrote. He is considered dangerous and is believed to be armed. He may attempt to shoot it out with law enforcement officers should his capture become imminent. Readers also learned that he got into the life of crime early as a Missouri farm boy teenager. Basically, he was a car thief. He drew a 4-year sentence for auto theft in 1924 when he was 18 and served it at the Missouri State Pen. A few months after he got there, he got busted for another car theft and was sent back for another 3 years. After he got out, he went straight for a few years before making the biggest mistake of his life, joining an accomplice to try to rob a rural general store. The robbery went badly. Not as badly as it could have, but badly enough. The old man who ran the store grabbed Jackson's accomplice's pistol. The accomplice punched him in the face to make him let go. Then the old man's brother-in-law came in with a rifle. Jackson got the drop on the rifleman, grabbed the gun, and yanked it out of his hands, and at that point, the two of them decided things were getting too rich for their blood, and they ran for it. They knew they were in trouble, but at first they had no idea how much. The thing was, there was a little post office in the back of the store they'd robbed. Armed robbery was bad enough, but robbing a post office was a much bigger deal and a federal offense to boot. So on this, Jackson's third trip to the big house, the sentence was 25 years. 17 years into his sentence, Jackson walked away from a work crew he was assigned to as a trustee and disappeared. That was in 1947. He moved out to the West Coast, settled down in Tualatin, changed his name to Ken Van Kempen, and started a new hobby as a landscape painter. But, of course, the FBI wasn't ready to let bygones be bygones. His offense, armed robbery, may have been comparatively minor, but as an escapee from a federal prison, he was pretty high on their priority list. High enough to make number 7 on the 10 most wanted. He made it fairly easy for them, too, making no attempt to change his appearance by, say, growing a beard or even changing hairstyles.
"That's a Hoosier trick," he said. "That's what they expect you to do."
He told reporters the FBI's bulletin on him was a pack of lies.
"To put me on the list of the 10 worst criminals is the silliest thing I've ever heard of," he grumbled glumly. "I haven't done anything very bad. The paper said I was dangerous and probably armed. Hell, I haven't had a gun since I got out. What do I want with a gun? I got enough trouble without one."
Orba Jackson was bundled into Rocky Butte Jail to await extradition back to Leavenworth to finish his sentence, plus a few extra years for the escape. Meanwhile, his friends in Washington County rallied around, offering moral support and more. Chicken farmer Cy Kirkland, Jackson's employer, started a legal defense fund for him and wrote letters urging the parole board to be merciful. "We think he has paid plenty for his crimes and that he has been honestly trying to go straight," said Cy Kirkland's wife. It must have worked because he was out by 1955, about 10 years before his sentence would have been up. Although the Kirklands had invited him to come back to Tualatin and resume his old job after his release, he didn't return. But he didn't turn back to crime either. Given the chance to go straight, Orba Jackson took it. When he finally died in 1993, he was living in California, having kept his nose scrupulously clean for the last 40 years of his life. That's it for today, and tomorrow in part 2 of this two-part story on the FBI's most wanted list criminals hiding out in Oregon, we're going to tell the story of John Harvey Bug, alias Cowboy Jim Williams, who sort of panicked his way onto the list when he reacted poorly to having his new car repoed. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Say, are you an audiobook listener? Do you enjoy old pre-war pulp stories? Tarzan of the Apes, Conan the Barbarian, The Call of Cthulhu, stuff like that? Or early Victorian penny dreadful fiction like Sweeney Todd, Vardy the Vampire, Highwayman Dick Turpin? If so, you might enjoy the audiobooks that I have out there in the world. Easiest way to find them is with a search for my name on audible.com. And there's a couple of Oregon history titles I've done too. Check them out if you're so inclined. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and learn more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of your Thursday with good stuff. Bye now.